Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew. No, let's start in Luke. Let's start in Luke this morning. In Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56, I hope. Sanctification is a process. So don't give up on yourself, because God's not going to give up on you. But please remember, as I've been stressing so much in recent weeks, we have to come through about five different levels of spiritual growth. God is determined to conform us to Christ's likeness. You can resist the conforming process. And when you resist the conforming process, he has to turn up the heat. He has to turn up the heat. So you got to understand this. Jesus is the source of our salvation. Jesus is the source of our sanctification. We need to bear in mind that he himself is the source. Jesus is the source of every blessing that we receive, every benefit that we receive. Jesus is the source. And every day of the world, when you get up, you need to realize that. You need to recognize that. But you have to understand this, and this is so prevalent in the church, unbelief will rob you of the blessings that God offers, will rob you of the benefits. Many of the blessings, much of the benefit. Unbelief will rob you. I have to sit down once in a while myself, and I'll be studying the Word of God, preparing to preach, preparing to teach, and I have to look at myself and say, where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on this? Each of us need to do that. You have to understand, unbelief will rob you of both blessings and benefit. It will rob you. You need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest with God. Do I believe that? Have I received that? If I believe it and I've received it, I'll practice it. If I'm not practicing it, I haven't believed it. I haven't received it. Now we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned, he's been across the lake. So he ran into that Gadarene demoniac. He returns from across the lake where he had that confrontation with that demoniac and made 5,000 demons leave the man. He's just come back from there. And the people wanted him to leave the neighborhood. It's an amazing thing to me that he cast 5,000 demons out of a man, and the man was set free. But the people would rather he leave and not stay there after he just cast out that many demons out of one individual. I would have thought others would have said, maybe I got some problems too, Lord. How about solving my problems? But they didn't. They wanted him to leave. We don't want you. Listen to me. We don't want you, and we don't want your power. We don't want you, and we don't want your power in the midst of us. Where's the church today? How much of the church, when I say the church, I mean the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God. I'm talking about those who've been born again. I wonder how much of the organization known as the church, made up of blood-bought, blood-washed people of God, really believe in his power. And I wonder to what degree we appropriate his power. These people didn't want Jesus in their midst. They asked him to leave, and he did. Verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. Jesus comes back across the lake, and he's met and he's approached by a member of the religious leadership of the nation, coming to him for help. He had a daughter, and his daughter was ill, gravely ill. He didn't go to the doctors. He came to Jesus. I'm going to cut across the grain of some stuff this morning. This is not a name and claim it message. I often put it this way, believe it and receive it. It's not a name and claim it message. But I've got to ask myself from time to time, do I believe this? Have I got to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not real sure where I am with this, and I'm asking you for your, I want to believe, I want to receive. I'm asking you to so work in my life that I will receive and believe exactly what you want me to receive and believe. This man came to Jesus. He had a daughter who was sick. He didn't go to the doctors. He came to Jesus. Luke 8:42. And he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. She was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. His daughter's dying. He knew she was dying, and he was seeking help. He went to Jesus seeking help. He wanted his daughter to be restored from Jesus. He didn't go to a doctor. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you this morning. I have no access to grind with the medical community. But understand this. The medical community cannot heal you. They can write prescriptions. They can provide treatment. But God has to do the healing. Until you understand that, I'm in no way putting down the medical community. I'm in no way putting down pharmaceuticals. I just know who is at the base of healing. He uses doctors. He uses pharmaceuticals. But he has to breathe on it. He has to activate it. He has to bless it, or it's not going to work. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He's got all the power. This guy comes to Jesus. He needs a miracle. He recognizes that his daughter is sick and she could die. So he came to Jesus asking for a miracle. Now, I know what somebody's thinking, whether it's in the real congregation or this congregation. Listen to me carefully. Bob, that was then. This is now. That was then. This is a nasty here and now. Well, the Word of God says he never changes. Hello? The Word says he never changes. The question is, in your mind, is he as much God today as he was the day we're talking about in these scriptures? Is he as much God today as ever he was? He was the agency through which creation occurred. Is he any less God today? Does he have any less power? Does he have any less anointing today than ever he did? You see, in this day of modern technology, we really don't expect miracles. For the most part, we don't really expect miracles. And yet, I dare say we've got some folks sitting in here this morning that need a miracle. You need a miracle. And if you don't receive the miracle, then you'll continue as you are now. But do we understand that we recognize the miracle when we see it? Do we recognize the miracle when it confronts us? These people needed a miracle. In this age today, we don't really expect miracles. Now, let's be honest. The average individual sitting in church does not expect a miracle. Just the way it is. But that's to our disadvantage. Because he's just as much the miracle worker today as ever he was. None of his power or authority has been diminished. None of it. Please don't misunderstand me. I thank God he has gifted men. Some men, not all men who are in the medical profession. He's gifted some. He's anointed some. And he uses them. And he uses the anointing he's placed on them to our benefit. But there's some things they can't do. There's just some things they cannot do. It's an interesting thing when a doctor sits down, looks you in the face and says, I don't understand it. I don't know what to say. God knows. But you see, you have access. You have access to the throne of God as a believer priest. He has all the answers. In our day, we don't expect miracles. So much of the church doesn't expect miracles. He's still performing miracles. A lot of times we attribute the miracle he performs to another source. Without him, it wouldn't have happened. Without him, it wouldn't have happened. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, let me get over there. I want to read that to you. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 19. You can come along if you want to. Pick it up in the verse 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It's very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished. Then who in the world can be saved, they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. Look at the rest of it. But with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. But with God, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. And the disciples were astonished. Then who in the world can be saved, they asked. Once again, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Now, what is it that you're facing that you're not willing to believe that God can do it? What is it that you need that you haven't believed that God can provide it? You know, remember that demonized son that Jesus was dealing with and the father had questioned authority and power? And Jesus said to him in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you believe, are you ready for this? If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Do you believe that? Folks, this is tough. You have to be honest with yourself and with God. Do I believe that? If you believe, Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It's understood. He's not talking about things contrary to the character and nature of God. He's not talking about things contrary to the will of God, but anything that is the will of God, you can receive if you can believe. Do not misunderstand me. Yes, he uses medical professionals. Yes, he uses other means and methods, but it's his anointing. It's his anointing on them that makes them useful to us. Amen. Without him, they got nothing to offer. Nothing whatever. Why not just pray? He said, if you can believe. Why not just pray? When's the last time you went before the throne of God and said, Father, would you help me believe? Of all the things you've asked for, have you ever said to Jesus, help me believe? I'm going to cut right to the core here for a minute. There are people sitting in this auditorium this morning. If ever anybody needed a move of God, and I'm talking about even in the physical body, we got people sitting in here this morning, and people will be listening in the radio congregation that this applies to, but sitting right here this morning, we've got people who need a touch from God.
Amen.
And if they don't get that touch from God, they're going to remain in trouble. But you've got people sitting in churches all over the nation today that really don't believe that God can do today what he did yesterday. Therefore, they don't take it to him. Do not misunderstand me. Yes, God uses doctors that he has gifted and anointed. He has given us men with the ability to develop technology that can do so much and help so much. But at the bottom of the barrel, at the end of the day, if God doesn't breathe on it, it's useless. God's got to breathe on it. And your position, yes, see the position of your choice after prayer. After prayer. Go see the physician of your choice after prayer. But understand this, that physician can't heal you. God has to bring the healing. He can use them, but God has to do the healing. Father, help my unbelief. When's the last time you prayed that? When was the last time you went before the throne of God saying, Father, I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. Help my unbelief. Have you ever confessed unbelief as a sin? Have you ever gone before the throne of God saying, Father, I confess my unbelief as sin. Have you gone to him saying, Father, help me. Enable me. Empower me. I pray that. Help me, Father. Enable me to do this. Enable me to believe this. Empower me to do this. Empower me to believe this. Because unless he enables me and empowers me, it's not going to happen. And what's true of me is true of you. It's okay to go before the throne of God saying, Father, enable me. Empower me. Enable me to believe. Enable me to be empowered. Make me sensitive to your leadership so I'll know what course to take. When to take it. Where to take it. What to trust. How to do it. We just rush into things without slowing down and getting the mind of God. We need to hear God. Father, help my unbelief. Enable me. Empower me. Remember now, Jesus is on his way to the house of synagogue ruler. But on the way there, there's a woman with an issue of blood. You're saying, okay, I've heard it. Nope. No, you haven't. Ask God to give you some ears to hear now. A woman with an issue of blood approaches him. Verse 43. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. For 12 years, she's had a flow of blood. And had spent all of her livelihood. Had spent her savings. Has spent every penny she had on physicians. And could not be healed by any. Please hear me clearly. Physicians can treat. God has to heal. There are physicians who are anointed. And they can treat. But God has to get the healing. God gets the glory. Here's a woman with a bloody flux. For years she has had this bloody flux. She spent everything she had on doctors. From this doctor to that doctor to this doctor to that doctor. And you got people in church who've been there. From this doctor to that doctor, she spent it all. But not a one of them could help her. Not one single doctor she went to could help. Then she heard about Jesus. What she heard, we don't know. How she heard, we don't know. Where she heard, we don't know. We just know this. The word tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, for she said to herself, let me tell you what I'm running up against this morning. This message is not meant to condemn. And some of you, if you're not careful, will accept this as a condemnation. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of encouragement if you receive the Word of God. Amen. So message of it is not condemnation. It is encouragement. Look what she said. She said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. What does that reveal to you? Let me tell you what it tells me. She thought she'd tried every medical protocol she could discover. Hadn't helped. She'd been to doctor to doctor to doctor. Couldn't help. This is not opposition to doctors. I keep reminding you of that, but I'm wanting you to see the centrality of the truth I'm trying to bring across this morning. She didn't talk to anybody else. She didn't go for counseling. But she'd heard about Jesus, and she heard enough about Jesus that she said to herself, nobody else, just herself, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. That was an expression of her faith. What's your expression of faith? Where is your expression of faith? At what level is your expression of faith? Folks, this is essential. To walk in victory, to walk in power, to walk in peace, you need to be able to answer these questions. What is your expression of faith? How do you express your faith? No. How do you express your faith? Do you express your faith? Have you ever stopped to consider, how do I express my faith? How do I show my Heavenly Father that I believe Him? How do I prove to my Heavenly Father that I believe His Word? What stand am I willing to make based on nothing but the raw word and power of God? That's where she's at. If I can only touch his garment, I'll be made whole. That was her level of faith. That's her expression of faith. I'm asking you, all I'm asking you to do is consider your level of faith. Understand this. Let me encourage you now. We come into the kingdom of God as babies. Spiritual babies. In the last few weeks, I've been emphasizing this so much because I think so much of the church doesn't realize this. We've got about five different levels of spiritual growth we must come through, and you cannot avoid a single level. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of degrees you're hanging on your wall. Your experience or your background. Each and every one of us have to come through these different levels of Christ-likeness. Faith. Becoming Christ-like. Believing the Word of God. Embracing the Word of God. Living the Word of God. She said, she didn't go talk to the preacher. She didn't go talk to the church body. Between her and God. Between her and God. She said, if I can touch his garment, I will be made whole. Luke 8:44. And then she came from behind. She sneaked up, working her way through the crowd. She got within arm's reach of him, came forth behind, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her flow of blood was stopped. In a heartbeat. Done. 12 years of bleeding. 12 years of doctors. Spent everything she had. Couldn't get any help. Gets to Jesus. Works her way through the crowd. Finally reaches out. Touches the hem of his garment. Pop! Healed. Jesus felt that touch of faith. He didn't that day, he wouldn't this day. Jesus feels that touch of faith. He felt that touch of faith. He will feel your touch of faith. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not ruling out the medical community. We've got those in the medical community that are anointed of God, used of God, to bring relief. But they can't bring healing. They can bring relief. God has to bring the healing. God has to bring the remedy in everything we're facing. My next heartbeat is in his hand. My next breath is in his hand. My next thought is known by him before I have it. I serve an omniscient God. She reached out in that crowd and she touched him. And Jesus, thronged with people, felt that touch of faith. When was the last time you touched him in faith? She was healed. The minute she touched his garment, she was healed. Just touching the clothes he was wearing did something that all the doctors she'd ever been to could not do. She touched him in faith. Simple, childlike faith. And was immediately healed. And Jesus was the source. Luke 8:45. And Jesus said, who touched me? He stopped. He said, who touched me? And they all denied it. Then Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throngs and presses you. And you say, who touched me? Everybody is touching you, Jesus. What do you mean, who touched you? I had to look at that again. And I had to take myself to task. Was it that he did not know who touched him? Or was it that he wanted the one who touched him in faith to identify themselves? I see two propositions here. One, I ask myself, was it that he did not know who touched him? He's God in the flesh. He knows everything. Was it realistically, did he not know who touched him? Or was it that he wanted the one who touched him in faith to acknowledge they had done so? I'll let you work it out. But those are questions I have to ask myself as I look at something like this. Did he not know? Or did he know, but did he want the person who did it in faith to admit they did it and the results? Luke 8:46. And Jesus said, you know, they said to him, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. He said, no. Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. When's the last time you drew power from Jesus? When was the last time your prayer of dependability, dependence, and faith drew power from him? That's what happened here. She touched him in faith, believing. And he discerned her touch of faith. He said, somebody touched me. For I perceive that power has gone out from me. When was the last time any of us in here touched him in faith? I mean, really in faith. When was the last time any of us really touched him in faith? Now, what do I mean by that? When was the last time any of us displayed faith in anything we did? When was the last time you did anything that proved that you were moving in faith? I believe you. I believe your word. I'm trusting you to meet this need. I'm trusting you to bless this approach. If you don't bless it, it's a wash. If you don't meet it, it can't be done. When was the last time that you went before him with that kind of faith? That kind of expression of faith. You see, now, if you're not careful, you will misinterpret what I'm saying. Understand this. It's a one-on-one thing. One-on-one. With every child of God, it's between that child and God. We appreciate intercessors. We use intercessors. But at the end of the day, it's the individual one-on-one with God. When was the last time any of us displayed faith? I mean real faith in any expression of life. Where we could say, if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. If God doesn't come through, it won't get done. If God doesn't meet this need, it won't be met. Let me make a confession. In all my years of ministry, And you could say, this is ridiculous, Martin. Call it what you will. But in all my years of ministry, I never knew what the balance in the checkbook was. I didn't get up every morning saying, what's our balance? What can we do? What can we not do? I got up every morning of the world trying to hear God and then obey God. Hear God and obey God. I cannot base my decisions on obedience on the checkbook balance. Because if God tells me to do thus, and the checkbook balance wasn't there, I might falter. So I just decided many years ago, I will not be checking the checkbook balance every week to find out where we're at. No. I don't know from week to week what the offering is. I don't ask. I don't know. Why? I trust Him. I say, I got to hear you. And if I hear you and I obey you, then whatever I do, it'll be taken care of. I'm having to make a decision right now in the Philippines. Just sent a letter out this past week, a message. Changing some structure. Putting more on the plate in front of the Lord. But waiting to see what God's going to do with it. I've dealt with this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally I positionalized this last past week. I said, all right, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it. And I put it in motion. Folks, understand this. Many times He provides what you need before you ask. Before you ask, He has already put things in motion to meet the need. The need has been provided before you even ask for it. You know what my greatest need is? If I were to ask you right now, what is your greatest need? How would you respond to that? I can tell you what my greatest need is. My greatest need is be more Christ-like. That's my greatest need. To be more Christ-like. And I dare say that might fit in a number of us in here. Just to be more Christ-like. Luke 8:47. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before Him, she declared to Him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately. In front of that multitude, she said, Lord, I've had a bloody flux for 12, 14 years. I've had this bloody flux. And they knew what she was talking about. All these years. But I touched you, Jesus. And the moment I touched you, I knew I was healed. Reached out and touched Him in faith and was healed immediately. And He said to her, Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. I got people sitting right here this morning that you would say to God in a heartbeat, oh, that I had the faith to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm about to say something now that might rattle your cage. Faith has to be tested. Faith has to be tested. Do I believe God? Do I believe His Word? Do I believe He can? Do I believe He will? Folks, these are questions you've got to ask yourself. What's my circumstance? What's my situation? What am I up against? Do I believe God can? Yes or no? Do I believe God will? Yes or no? For she had said within herself, if I can but touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith hath made you well. Go in peace. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the pastor, the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. Jesus said to the father, don't be afraid. Only believe, and she'll be made whole. Look at that in verse 50. And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she shall be made well. Understand this. Listen to me carefully. Fear can cancel faith. Fear can cancel faith. Keep that in mind. Luke 8:51. When he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, John, and the father and mother of the child. He allowed those to go in with him who possessed hope and expectation. I promise you, Peter, James, and John knew we're about to see something. We're about to experience something. So he only took in those with him who had hope and expectation. What is your hope? What is your expectation? Does your expectation match your hope? Can you say to Jesus, this is my hope? And this is my expectation? Do they match? Luke 8:52. Now all wept and mourned for her. And he said, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. You see, from his perspective, she was only asleep. From his perspective, she was only asleep. But then, you know, he can take that position. Why? He has power over death. Amen. He has power over death. That being the case, if he has power over death, what is it he does not have power over? Nothing. He has power over death. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. In their ignorance, and by the way, we're surrounded by that every day, aren't we? In their ignorance, and we're surrounded by it, every day we are. Spiritual ignorance is an everyday expression of life. You are surrounded every day of the world with spiritual ignorance. Are you discerning of it? But every day, you're surrounded by spiritual ignorance. Luke 8:54. And he puts them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Now she lay in there dead. But from his perspective, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. He put them all aside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned. Her spirit returned. Her spirit returned. And she arose immediately. And he commanded them to be given something to eat. Why? He wants to revive the bodily functions. She's been dead. but he wants to revive the bodily functions. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Astonished, but no doubt deeply, deeply thankful for what he just did. Just raised their daughter. Now let me ask you this. If I were to ask you this morning, what's your greatest need? What would you say? What is your greatest need this morning? Take a moment. Right now. Tell the Lord what your greatest need is. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Think about it for a moment. And take a moment. And tell the Lord what you perceive your greatest need to be. Now pray something like this. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm going to join with you in praying for your need. For those of you who want me to join with you in praying for your need, stand up. Your standing is your way of saying to the Lord, I want you to hear my need. I'd like for you to meet my need. And your standing is a way of saying to the Lord, please consider my need, meet my need. Somebody in this crowd might say, where do you begin? You say to the Lord, you can meet my need. You can meet my need, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, you can meet my need. I'm asking for sensitivity to your Holy Spirit, but I will know how to go forward, how to react, how to respond. Give me clarity of thought. Give me clarity of hearing. Give me sensitivity to your Holy Spirit, so I will know that I know that I know how to proceed. Lord Jesus, I choose as an act of my will to submit and surrender to your Lordship in my life. So please hear my prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can live that out. You can walk that out. I'm trying to hear God a moment. What's his name?
Landon.
How old is he?
20 years old.
20?
I'm about to turn 21 in a few weeks.
Jesus. Yes. I bless Landon this morning.
Yes, sure,
I'm asking you, Lord Jesus Christ, to initiate an action in his life, counteracting anything and everything that's ever come to him through his bloodline or any other source. I'm asking you, either instantly or progressively, to bring about that which only you can do, Jesus. And I bless you this morning. I bless you in your spirit, your soul, your body. I bless you this morning in the name that's above every name. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of every ancestral curse in your bloodline. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of every generational curse in your bloodline. And I speak life and wholeness and health and healing and restoration to you to be Christ-like in Jesus' name. I pray and ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You take that and receive it. Now we just wait and let the Lord move as he will, when he will, as he will, okay? Kathy Baxter, come up here, please. Take that microphone. In just a moment, I want you to close us with prayer. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. To your glory, your honor, and your praise, I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Kathy, close us.
It's on. Father, we just come to you today. Lord, I thank you for what we've heard here this morning. Father, you know, I never realized that unbelief was, or never considered it a sin. But Father, this morning I ask for forgiveness for all those times that I didn't believe. That I believed it would happen for someone else. And I knew you could, but I never felt worthy of even asking. So I ask you, Lord, as everyone leaves this building this morning, that they walk out reassured and encouraged that what you've done for others, you're willing to do for us. Father, give us the sensitivity also for those around us, Lord, to be aware of what they may be going through. Or just the fact that they're going through something, Lord, and lift up our prayers on their behalf. Father, the church is supposed to be a family. We're supposed to reach out and to take care of each other. Because, Father, we failed in that so miserably. We can look at our own country and see the consequences of it. So, Father, as we ask for your forgiveness this morning, I also ask for the wisdom and the discernment, Lord, to know what you want us to do each day, be it something small or something big. But, Father, do make us more sensitive. Give us those ears to hear. And those eyes to see, as Jesus said so often. And may we always be grateful for what you've done. Because not one of us can walk out of here and say that we're not blessed in so many ways. So I pray that you would go ahead of us this week, Lord. Speak to us. And Lord, help us to slow down and have the time to listen and be thankful, Lord. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. Where would we be without it? All these things we ask in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Know what God's people said? Stand up and say to somebody, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm going home. Bring your tithes, bring your offering on up. Throw it in the plate. Quinn, just a second. Mark, come here. Mark, I want you to know that you're welcome here. Glad to have you here. Hope that you can continue on, but understand this. Anytime there's a question or a problem, Father God, we come before your throne this morning. Yes, we're the children of the Most High God. But Father, we come through a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world. And sometimes we're not careful of the reactions and responses to life in this sin-darkened, sin-infested world are not altogether Christ-like. Our attitudes, reactions, responses. So, Father, this morning we come before your throne acknowledging. You said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, as we approach your table this morning, anoint us with sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. Anoint us to come to grips with anything and everything attitudinally, action-wise, whatever it may be, that would quench or grieve your Holy Spirit, that we might confess it as sin, put it under the blood, and come before you with clean hands and a pure heart for this time together with the table. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Is that turned up, that piano, so we can hear it? Because I wasn't hearing it.
Yeah, we hear it.
She's just not playing really loud.
Have you got it there? Okay. You can come on up, get your bread, get your cup, return to your seat, and we'll take it in just a moment. On the night that Christ was betrayed, his last time with the disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." I don't know if we ever take the time to really understand what was occurring on that cross. On that cross, Christ Jesus took upon himself every sin of everyone who would ever repent and receive him as Lord and Savior. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have to understand this morning. As one born again, you are hated in hell. As one born again, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Satan is consistently going before the throne of God accusing. He's the accuser of the brethren. But I like to picture it this way. Every time Satan brings an accusation to the Father against me, I like to picture Jesus reaching over and tapping the Father's knee, said, "I paid for it. I paid for it." That's what this is all about. So this morning, as we take the bread, I want us to understand the fullness of what we're doing. This represents the body of Christ. And I want you to take the time this morning to thank him for it. Privately, individually, right now. And when I say amen, we will take it then. Go ahead and thank him for it. Father God, I thank you that on that cross, you took upon yourself the sin that we have ever committed and confessed. I want to thank you that on that cross, you who knew no sin, became sin, so that I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Father, this morning we take the bread, realizing it represents your body, Jesus, on the cross. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then he took the cup. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There had to be a sinless, willing blood sacrifice. Christ Jesus was that sinless, willing blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Father God, we thank you this morning for what this cup represents. And too often we take it too lightly. I don't think any of us really comprehend, Father, what happened on that cross that day. That you, Jesus, who knew no sin, took upon yourself the sins of all who believe. The sodomite, the harlot, the liar, the thief, the drug addict, the alcoholic. And the list goes on and on and on. And on that cross, you who knew no sin, took upon yourself my sin and the sins of all who would believe, so that God the Father had to turn his back, could not respond and react to your pain and your agony on the cross. And you cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was my sin on you and the sins of all of us in this room on you. Father, help us every day of the world to appreciate that reality more and more. We ask in Jesus' name, thank you for the blood that cleanses and cleanses. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.